Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with my good buddy, Steven Cervantes. So how's it going today?
I am blessed and glad to be here.
Yeah, so listeners, we're always grateful to have you here with us. We would love it if you would be willing to rate and review the program. You can just do that through your Apple Podcasts and just
we
appreciate five stars.
That's my job. Five stars.
I was joking in an earlier program, like, if you want to rate us one star, just call me first, okay? Just let's talk. Let's
don't.
Tell us what we're doing wrong. But that's a really easy and a free way for you to help us to promote the program and let more people know about it. We're so grateful. We've gotten some great reviews from so many of you, and we are grateful for that. We're glad to hear that this program is benefiting you and helping you to just further your growth as a man or woman of integrity. And so today, Stephen, I'm really excited about the program because we're really going to roll up our sleeves, right? I mean, we're going to try to help people understand, like, what does it look like to respond and engage in healthy things versus kind of our normal previous unhealthy coping and escaping and all that kind of stuff.
That's good. That's good. So I made this list. I'm thinking in my mind, why does it take a year in recovery? You know, why do people say? Yeah, a year or 2 years. Or why do people say, you know, play the long game here? Because wives go, I want to fix this, and this ought to be done in a couple of weeks. We just get this thing all cleaned up, right? Let's just figure out what he's doing, make him stop doing that. Then we got him all cleaned up, right? Well, that's not really how this goes. And I'm thinking, what are we doing that's hindering us? That's the first part of our talk. And then what could we do that would help us?
Right.
Okay. So what we're doing is escaping, right, into fantasy, to a make-believe life where you can control it, and sex is easy there, and it's fantasy. You manipulate the players, you get what you want, they say what you want, it's easy. Having a relationship with a real person is more difficult and requires work. But from boyhood, right? Everybody makes up fantasies, right? We watch movies that are fantasies. Everybody likes to.
And you know, it's interesting because I do think we need to create, maybe this isn't the program to do it, but it's just a little sidebar comment. I do feel like we need to be okay with creating this delineation between the escape we're talking about that is unhealthy and destructive.
Right.
And sometimes just the innocent, like, you know what, I want to go, let's go watch a movie together. And there's a type of escape that is almost like fanciful. It's fun. It's not destructive. But I think what we're talking about here is like, man, when escape becomes all about me and it's all about the fantasy and it's all about, like you said, control. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah,
when you're talking
and
about
so
escape?
I'm saying escape is a part of the problem. Control, I'm going to put that on the list because that's excellent. I have to control my inside world, and I must control you from knowing what's going on, right? Whatever I have to do, lie and pretend, and I have to control the situation so I can keep my escape possible, right? Because when you have a history of escaping, it didn't just start yesterday or the day before, the month before.
It's a
You've
pattern.
Been doing it a long time. So these are the negatives that you have to sort of work through. And one guy used this word. He called it a stage face.
Ooh.
I put on my stage face, and I look like I'm present and interested. I'm just waiting to escape. But I look so interested. Other people might call it a mask, right? A mask, or some people call it a wall. Right behind the wall, hiding. There's the outside me, and then there's this very different inside me. And I have to look together, right? I have to make sure I've controlled the situation so everything looks good. I know I didn't do anything wrong. No, it wasn't me. No, I'm good.
Yeah, we kind of talk about this in the workshop when we talk about image building, right?
Yes.
I project this image. I make sure I look a certain way to you.
Yes.
So that you find me acceptable and amazing.
And I have to hold everything inside because I'm not being honest and doing real work. I'm just I'm just sitting on the inside and then escaping when I can and trying to look good and put on my stage face and hold it together. But I'm really stunted inside. I'm hiding. And some people even call it like white knuckling, just trying to get through another day and try to not be so bad. And these are skills that people do when they're caught up in an addiction. Right, they just do these things over and over. They hide, they pretend, they put on a face. They're not real, they're not insightful. And then they go through life. And they work really hard at these skills instead of the other skills that would make them more successful.
And I think this has to do with a little bit of what we talked in a previous program, just about the fear that drives us, right? So we have this core fear, whatever it may be, that is causing us to think that this is a good idea to escape, to hide, to close ourselves off. You know,
that's right. If we don't address the fear, then we have to build something on top of it to hide it and not deal with it, right? And to pretend we're all together.
So I think there's multiple factors here, because I think one is the fear is often driving a lot of the hiding and the escaping. But then the other is, like, have you ever noticed when you know, in your counseling practice or when we're at the workshops or anything like that, how when you even start to try to hint at or describe what health looks like, guys just sort of blank out? Like, there's a huge ignorance, right, around, I've never even attempted
to be healthy,
some of these healthy coping mechanisms or healthy ways to act. And so some of it is, because a lot of this escape pattern, a lot of this hiding happened began so early in life.
Right.
There's been way less engagement with anything healthy along the way. So sometimes a guy's 30, 40, 50, 60 years old and has very little, if any, experience at all with any of the healthy stuff, right? So I think it's important to acknowledge that wherever you are on the journey, one of the reasons that it may take a year or two or longer is because you simply don't have any experience with these healthy ways of responding. And let's be, like, okay with that. You know what I mean? I don't think we need
as
to place
a starting point.
A starting point. What I mean is, like, and I'm talking a little bit to the wives out there, or just to the loved ones of those who are starting to try to engage, you know, coming out into the light and dealing with their escape and their hiding. Is if you place the expectations onto that person that they should be, like, in week one, highly mature and skilled in these new ways, it's not going to happen, you know?
And when you were talking, I was thinking, these guys have been doing these hiding, wearing a mask, pretending good, faking for 10 years or 20 years. These are habits that they have practiced for 20 years. And now they say, okay, I got to clean up my act and stop, you know, misusing my sexuality. And then we say, okay, work on that for a year. Well, okay, because you've been doing something else for 20 years.
Right.
It may take you a year to put better pieces in place.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because part of this is addressing, why can't a guy get better in a month? Why don't you just stop and be done? Well, if you got a 20-year bad habit,
it also depends on how you define getting better. If you mean stop the acting out behavior, you can do that in a month. But if you mean actually becoming a healthy individual who knows how to relate well, and, you know what I mean? It's kind of like when the ministry first started, and, you know, we would go and do these talks, and then, you know, guys would get off porn, and then their angry wives would call us 6 months later and be like, what have you done to my husband? You know, he's a jerk. He's more of a jerk now. And we finally figured out, you know what had happened is behavioral acting out had stopped. But all of this stuff we're talking about the underlying emotional deficiencies and everything, man, there was a lot of work left to do. You know?
That's right.
And that may be what takes the longer amount of time, is to become a healthy individual.
That's good. You could stop in a day.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you changed.
That's good, yeah.
Right? Because you have a 20-year habit of escaping in your mind. You think if you stop acting out behaviorally, your mind's going to change in one day and you're never going to fantasize again if you've been doing it for 20 years. No, it takes time. So we need long vision, long game, and we have to recognize what are the not so good skills so we can do less of those, and what are the good skills so we can do more of those. And so one of them, that a guy came in and was talking to me, and he said something was so interesting. He said he'd heard this. He said, carry a water bottle every day and drink water all day. And when you see that water bottle, say this thing, I'm taking care of myself.
That's good.
And he said, it's really made a change in my mind. Now, remember, we're talking about, we got all these habits of 20 years, so we need create a little space with a new positive thought. We got to take some territory. Isn't that amazing? You carry a water bottle, and you keep it full, and you drink all day. And every time you drink,
I'm taking care of myself today.
Now, isn't that a shift?
Absolutely. And it can sound so small, right?
Yes.
But think about how all the negative patterns got in place.
That's good.
When you've got a 40-year-old man who's been developing these negative patterns for 25 years, do you think when he was 15, that pattern of unhealth was as developed as it was when he turned 40?
Yeah.
It started small, didn't it?
Right.
So in the same way, you deconstruct and you reconstruct a new way of living with very small steps. You know?
That's right. And somebody was saying, you have to construct a new habit.
Yeah. And that's a great one. Because what I like about it is it's not merely a mental exercise. It brings in multiple aspects. It brings in the visual. You're looking at an actual bottle.
That's right.
It brings in the visceral. You're tasting water. Like it's bringing in a lot of your senses into the experience too. So, and we know studies have shown that you will learn something faster the more senses you engage in that learning, you know. So
that got me to thinking about the work we're doing and how do you get a guy to make changes and so I kicked over to the 40 Days of Purity program, and a number of guys have said to me, I have my prayer verses in my pocket.
That's awesome.
Right? And I think, that's it. I have something tangible. And every time I feel it in my pocket, I remember, those are my cards. Those are the verses. Right? So that's kind of got me to thinking we need to be able to keep creating material that has a tangible piece to it.
Well, and you know what I think, as you were saying about the guys that are carrying those cards.
And explain what it is.
Part of the 40 Days of Purity course is we invite guys to, each day there's a particular scripture that is a focal point for that day. And we invite them as part of their journaling even to grab some index cards and actually put that verse on an index card and carry it around to help them memorize it, but also just to be thinking about it, meditating on it. But as you said that, I'm thinking if guys have those cards, they can literally say the same thing that the guy with the water bottle is saying.
Yeah.
They pull that out and saying, I'm taking care of myself.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm taking care of my soul, right?
That's right, absolutely.
That's great.
So I really wanted to pause here a minute and ask you, what other things have you heard through all your conversations? Because let's think about this image, Jonathan. We know Jesus loves us, okay? And the way I visualize is that this way. We have spiritual truths and we have emotional truths. And so you watch a minister, he goes to seminary, he has a church, he knows his Bible, and then he has an affair. And what happened was the deeper program fell out and took him out. Because it wasn't the gospel that took him out, it was the other program underneath. And so we need to get that change deep in the soul. Then you're free. Otherwise, you're white-knuckling it. And Jesus loves me, but I got to go use a little stuff on the side. But yeah, but I keep them both alive. So I'm just wondering, on this journey, what other things, because we want to have pure thoughts, right? And restful thoughts and to be at peace with ourselves so that we could be free. Mm-hmm. But a man's head is so full of years of material, planning, right? Escaping pleasure. I mean, it's encoded with all this other stuff. And so what did you find? What have you heard? And this water bottle story, or these little Bible verses story, or even sometimes I've used this, my God is enough, my mm-hmm. wife is enough, I have enough, and I'm content.
Yeah.
That's my little verse for the day. That's a little prompt.
Yeah. That was one of the things I was going to say is, I mean, that's one very particular thing, and I've used that over the years many times too, about my God's enough, my wife's enough, I have enough, I'm content. But I think that fits a particular template that's good to use. And say, in other words, it could be those very words, mm-hmm. but like, what are you creating that are some kind of quick go-to, yes. almost mantras?
Yes.
Like what would be maybe a life verse, or what would be even yes. Maybe you've captured a quote from an author that, man, it really penetrated your heart in a powerful way. Right. Make that kind of your library of mantras.
But is there anything in particular that you have used to reclaim some part of your brain?
Well, one of the things I was going to say is that, and this has not only been true in my own life, but just so many guys have been successful. We need buddies.
Mm-hmm.
We need, and I mean like real, authentic
yeah.
3 a.m. buddies that know how to both cut us and heal us.
Mm.
And I've been grateful over the years to have some guys like that in my life because, you know, we talk about it all the time. All these things that we've mentioned here that are the negatives, the hiding, the escaping, the stage face, you know, all this kind of stuff. That is far less to do with whatever the behaviors are when you escape than it is about the fact that you are living isolated and disconnected from relationships.
That's good.
And so you talk about what's changed my mind or changed my man, just that whole paradigm shift of realizing I'm not meant to live alone, isolated from other people. And I don't mean just, and I mean, you know, when I'm talking to guys, I'm like, you need men in your life. I think God has been gracious to, you know, for those of us who have wives, that he's given us a wife, and she's certainly a friend. But can I say this? There are limitations to that friendship.
Right.
You know, we're one. It's a unique relationship. There's no other relationship like it in the world, and it's meant to be that way by God's design. But that doesn't mean that she is always going to be able to connect with me in a way that another man can connect with me on certain things.
Right.
And so for me, in terms of the sharpening that I've needed as a man to come out of this escape and come out of the hiding, I've needed other men to help me do that. And so those are huge things for me. But also, I tend to be kind of somewhat of a regimented person. So, man, I get, you know, just the normal things, getting in the Word, praying.
Right. You're good about getting things. Up in the morning and getting in the Word, right? Get and your head on straight.
But let me qualify that or clarify that, because, hey, I did that when I was in high school and college. But it was like you were talking about. There was that those layers. There was there was kind of the religious program, but man, underneath it, there was this broken emotional system, and I was doing the escape and hiding and all that.
Yeah.
So I had a structure of like faith, but I didn't necessarily have the depth, the intimacy of faith. And so I would say that now, even though I still have a lot of that structure in my life, in the sense of I like to get up in the morning and spend time with God and the Word, it's way different than it was, you know, 30 years ago. It's like I actually desire to connect with God, not just, hey, you know what, I need to do this because somebody could be watching.
Yeah.
Or somebody could ask me about whether or not I had my quote-unquote quiet time today.
But you're saying that would be a huge thing, to connect with God in the morning.
I think it's huge. I think it's I mean, for me, it just, there's nothing magical about the morning, but I think because it's the start of the day, just to kind of get your frame of mind, remember,
this is about. I have to get my head thinking about the right things.
Right.
Right. And we have to do it in little pieces so that we can take over and run a healthy brain.
Yeah.
And we started with that little water bottle example to remind myself to take care of myself. And when you get up in the morning, you plug into the source and you really have a few minutes with God, you claim that part of your day in your brain.
And can I offer something about that? Because here's what I tend to see, especially when we deal with a lot of couples, right? And a lot of times the dynamic that we are dealing with is a husband who's been, you know, sexually addicted or whatever, and then the wife's been betrayed. Mm-hmm. And then there's when kind of the recovery and those types of things start happening, there's an expectation usually by both that, man, we got to do this fast.
You're right. You know? Right.
But here's the thing that I would say. Some of the things I think there can be adjustments that are fast. Like we were saying before, you could quit the behavior
right
relatively quickly.
Yep.
But because of the things we're talking about here that go much deeper than behavior, one of the things that I would offer to anybody out there that is saying, yeah, I want to shift away from escapism and hiding and all those kinds of things is take your time in really knowing what you're learning. And what I mean by that is, let's take even the scripture verses, right? You know, guys got this pocket full of these cards that have these scripture verses on it. Rather than thinking of like, hey, I'm doing this 40-day program, and so each day I really want to, okay, that one, and now I'm on to the next day, and I'm on to that one and that one. Rather than trying to just like consume information, what does it look like for that to transform your thinking, to transform your life? So I almost feel like we need to slow the process down, and be in more of almost like a meditative state over these things.
Yes,
because we're inundated with information from everywhere, but that doesn't mean we're necessarily growing fuller lives or even more intelligent just because we have more information. So I think this is a process more about taking our time and actually knowing, like in an experiential way, what we're learning, rather than like we were saying, hey, you can have that religious layer there.
Right.
And you can be able to spout off a lot of Bible verses. It doesn't mean it's transforming your life.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
So, yes. So I have two things that I would say to help reclaim right thinking, and things you can do every day. We have to little small steps every day. We have to move in a new direction because we're training ourselves to build new habits that are better habits. One is, and I've said this before, I walk around my neighborhood and I say, I am so full of love. I say, I am so loved. I am so loved. I am so loved. Now, do I really feel that completely? No, but that's what God says. And I want to say it and say it over me. I am so loved. I am so loved. And I'll say that. Then I'll say, I'm so full of love. I'm so full of love. And it's like I'm telling my brain where I want to get to. Mm. Because I can't get to fullness. Yeah, I think it's a journey to get to fullness.
I love what you're saying because, I mean, I think everybody, if we're honest, we don't naturally always feel in the right direction.
Right, right.
Right? So I love what you're saying because you're saying, you know what? We need our will to be engaged as a training piece for the rest of our being.
That's
you know,
good,
so even if I don't feel it, I'm like, I will say, I am so loved. I am so loved. I mean, I feel it immediately.
That's right. And that's what the cross is about. That's who he is, right? And of course, our body, our fear is going to say, no, you're not enough. What are you doing? Why are you saying that? I'm true. That's a lie. But it's like, I'm trying to shift over to the new program and I better say it. And I better walk and move my body because I'm trying to get it integrated into my being. I'm having a spiritual moment with God. I'm out in God's creation. And I'm trying to speak truth. I'm so loved. I am so loved. I'm so loved.
That's really good.
And then I'm so full of love. I'm so full of love because that's my fuel source. I want to run on love, not fear. So I have one other thought. somebody introduced me to this. It's an app called Pause by John Eldridge. And it's Pause Ransomed Heart app, I think. Anyway, it says take 60 seconds and repeat this. And I'm probably going to get it wrong, but, you know, we're not perfect. So I give all of me and I give everyone I care about to you, Father. And you just say that. I give all of myself to you, Lord. And everyone I care about and everything I care about, I give to you. I just sit here and I just give everything I care about to you, meaning every worry. And I give everything to you, Father. I give me to you and I give everybody I care about and I just give it to you so that I can rest. And so I knew I was going to do this podcast. I went on this morning and I did my little 60-second pause with the app. And I'm going to start doing that little every morning. I give everything to you. I give myself to you. I give everything I worry about to you. I give it to you, Lord.
Yeah.
I just release myself and I give it to you to carry today. And I'm just going to say that 60 seconds, because I want my mind thinking right every day.
I think that's good. It's, you know, some of what you're saying makes me think a few thoughts. One is, I think it is important for us to remember that we need to engage small steps.
That's right.
You know, along the journey of growth. I think sometimes a lot of us, especially if we have a particular zeal or depending on what our fear is, we bite off more than we can chew, right? And then that sometimes only exacerbates our shame because then we're like, see, you're a total failure. You tried to do too much and couldn't do it,
That's true.
And so sometimes I think it's just better to just be small but consistent, like just keep persisting in that.
Yes.
But it made me think of, I also think it's good to experience the rhythm of altering some of those things. Because
altering
the little templates or altering the little things that are, for instance, it makes me think of, you know, sometimes there's, you know, over the years, man, I'll get some particular zealous moment where I'm going, okay, I'm going to dive back into some vigorous exercise routine, you know, and I'll do something for a little while and I'll be like, I'll see results. And then I just stick with that one thing and very quickly it gets mundane. It gets really boring. And so I think sometimes even with an exercise program, like, hey, you change it up every now and then. Change the venue. Change the exercise. And so I think the same thing can be true here. It's like, yeah, start small, but kind of keep it active. You know, keep it.
Keep adding to it. Keeping some variety.
Kind of mix it up.
Moving,
you know. And you know, maybe during one time it's like, I'm going to spend the next, you know, 30 days doing this 60-second thing, or I'm going to, you know, just trying different things. Maybe you're going to say, you know what, this next time I'm going to invite one of my buddies to go through the 40 days course with me.
Yeah.
You know, just things like that to keep it fresh and always keep exploring, like, God, where do you want me to keep growing? Where do you want me to keep moving? Because it's when we get stagnant that we tend to drift back towards the old escaping and hiding and isolating, right?
That's right. That's right.
Well, folks, we hope this has given you just maybe some new ideas or some ways to think about how are you continuing to pursue healthy engagement with your own mind, with others, with God. We hope this has been helpful, and we want to come alongside you wherever you are on the journey, so please reach out to us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
God bless.